And you feel in your gut those certain things like, oh, I'm getting something. I don't think this is for me. And you get out right away. That's even a huge step in the right direction.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Ashley Lauren Elrod, a true powerhouse in the world of advocacy, mental health, and social impact storytelling. As a child abuse survivor, Ashley Lauren has turned her own journey of overcoming trauma into a mission to uplift and support survivors of abuse, mental health challenges, and sex trafficking. Through her company, Visionary Woman Productions, she merges her passion for storytelling with her commitment to creating safe spaces for survivors to heal and reclaim their narratives. Ashley Lauren's work extends far beyond the screen with impactful initiatives like her psychological thriller feature film, Verge of Remembrance, supporting Project Can Hope in collaboration with the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center. And today we're going to dive into her journey and her vision for change and how she is breaking barriers both in the mental health and the film worlds. Ashley Lauren, thank you so much for joining.
Yes, thank you so much, Phoebe, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's so good to have you on the show. I'm honestly just so amazed by your story, how much you have overcome to know that you are a fellow advocate of anti-human trafficking and especially sex trafficking. It is truly inspiring. And I'm really looking forward to diving into what's motivated you to turn your personal experiences into a mission of helping others. First of all, I wanted to find out, Visionary Woman Productions has been such a powerful mission for you. I'd love to know what has inspired you to create a production company that specifically focuses on social impact and advocacy.
Yeah, so ever since I started it over 15 years ago with my friends, it was always the mission of providing wisdom, giving back to the community. It started off as helping to fulfill a need at my college, actually, to help prepare performers to navigate the industry safely and wisely and understand the business aspect of it, but also just understand how to build a brand as well. I was already heavily in the industry before graduating college. So I really wanted to take what I had already learned and known to be able to give it back to my peers because we just were not learning that at school. So it was founded on giving back and collaboration and really having the heart to build that community and see people rise. So over the course of the past 15 years, it's definitely been so many different pivots to the business, but the mission has always stayed the same of helping others to be wise and safe in and out of entertainment. And also advocacy has always been a part of it from day one, being able to collaborations with the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center, Songs Against Slavery, Humans for Justice, and International Justice Mission to help survivors of sex trafficking and exploitation and abuse through different creative ways, whether that was going on tour around the country and doing like an actual music tour, but we were doing it in support of those survivors, being able to raise funds and awareness, or doing different little benefit concerts and shows in the city locally, and much, much more. So Visionary Woman has always been, I guess, a propeller for that collaboration since day one. And it's just grown in multitude since then.
That is so amazing. And what a transformation for you to step out and not only create a short film, but also to inspire others to live a life that is so completely different, hopefully, to what they had experienced. And I'm sure those survivors never would have thought that their lives could be this way.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's been great to be able to be a part of the community in so many great ways, not only through Visionary Woman Productions, but sharing my story of surviving multiple abuses growing up and being able to be here to utilize what I have and my skill sets to give back, not just as an entertainer and producer, but also as a mental health coach. I am certified and have led with those skill sets in mental health to be able to help also in entertainment and see that correlate in such a beautiful way.
Yeah. Ashley, Lauren, are you able to tell us a little bit about your story? You've been through a lot in life.
So I am a sexual abuse survivor, and I guess you could say multiple sexual abuse survivor. Unfortunately, it started around when I was 7 years old. For over 11 years, like I had experienced a lot of, having my autonomy stripped from me, unfortunately, in regards to that way. And having to navigate all the things that come with that, especially when you're not comfortable to talk about it with your family, and the trauma kind of keeps you in a space where you don't feel present fully to even share those things because you're not fully processing them, which I wasn't for a very, very long time until it came out my senior year that it had happened with the family member. It's actually crazy. I haven't really talked about the other perpetrators a lot. I'm learning to do that more so now at 35 years old in my process because it's important to also realize that it was more than one person and it affected your life in many different ways throughout teenage and adulthood and other circumstances, which we talked about, led to two abusive relationships, unfortunately, and even not speaking up and standing up for myself against sexual advancements in workspaces. So it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah, I mean, overcoming trauma is such a journey. There's so many realizations as you are working through the past and digging in. And it's amazing that you have acknowledged what you've been through is real. Unfortunately, a lot of survivors don't, and they shut it out and they don't acknowledge it, and the pain stays in their bodies for a very long time. I think it's really incredible that you have turned something into such a big project and you are impacting so many lives. I would love to know, when you were in an abusive relationship, how did your past affect your autonomy, and how did it affect the way you showed up in those relationships back then?
Yeah, my wounded inner child, I guess you can say, was definitely leading in those circumstances. I grew up in a very complicated household as well, where I had a mother that was narcissistic, and we didn't have the best relationship. Even though I honor her and I give her so much grace because she birthed me into this world, that also was a very difficult thing to go through. So, between being sexually abused and also dealing with abuse in my spirit and my mind on a daily basis, it led to those situations of staying too long and feeling like I could fix a situation or fix a person if they were acting a certain way towards me, because that's what I had always known. Instead of saying, hey, no, that this is wrong, being able to stay firm on that and to walk away. I think also it's hard when you can't walk away, right? When you're a kid and you're a teenager and you just are not able to have that choice. You have to cope with it until you're able to break out on your own, which I don't think is talked about enough for kids who do go through severe narcissistic abuse from a parent, because we don't have a choice to just say, okay, well, I'm going to leave the situation. So that's really ingrained in you for a very long time. until you honestly become a young adult that can get to therapy and get to, a place where you're able to start healing from all of that, which was your most impressionable years. So there are a lot of times in those relationships where that was very prevalent. And I felt like I was almost in a relationship with my mom a lot of times because it was the same exact patterns, the same exact things that were being said. It was, all these same things kept coming up. And from someone who still talks to her mother and tries to have a relationship with her, it's
Wow.
still even more difficult to be in a relationship with someone who was mirroring her almost, but also still trying to have a relationship with her.
Oh my goodness. Everything you've just shared, I completely resonate with. I mean, I've been through trauma as a child. They say trauma, it's not about, like, you can't really talk about trauma like someone's been through more trauma than you. It's everyone's trauma is significant and it does affect people in all sorts of ways. So for those that are listening, don't discard your own experiences or your own trauma. Take this as something to allow you to see that anybody can heal from their trauma when you recognize it and when you actually get someone on your side that is there to see you thrive and shine, that is genuinely not related or not connected to your experiences and has no agenda. For example, a professional, a therapist, that's a great person to have on your side to tell you the reality of what you've been through. And I mean, Ashley, Lauren, I'm kind of resonating with your story already because I've overstayed several relationships where I look back and I go, why did I try to fix that? That man or that person and that guy was clearly not for me. And it's not about being too good for them at all. It's just about the fact that he was clearly not for me. They were clearly unaligned or there was incompatibility. Or in my last relationship, it was severely manipulative and I was coerced into the relationship. And I look back and I go, oh my goodness, why did I stay? Why did I try and fix that person? And I've only recently discovered that it was due to familiarity because of what I have been through as a child. And hearing that is, it's almost so validating because you're like, wow, that it's not me. There's nothing wrong with my intuition. There's nothing wrong with my ability to think or rationalize, and there's actually nothing wrong with my intelligence.
You were used to it for so long. And it's something too, like I said, those years of being a child are very impressionable. Like, we are really truly a product of our environment.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth of the matter. Like, we learn about love or thereof from growing up with our parents and our families. We learn about just communication in general and safety and something that's the opposite, fear. Everything comes from the product of our environment that we are born into. So I was always trying to fix things happening in my household, like always trying to try to please, like walk around eggshells to please my mom, because I never knew when a day was going to be good or when it was not going to be good. And like, no, now it wasn't because of me. It's because like that's a whole nother cycle of trauma and
Yeah.
intergenerational things that I can never fix. In that time, though, that's what you're trying to do. So much is fixed. Like, even when you're a kid, you're trying to just make it better. And that was always me, which transferred into my adulthood.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Ashley Lauren, Verge of Remembrance is a compelling short film, and I wanted to talk a bit about that. Could you please tell us more about the story behind the film and the collaboration that you have with Project Can Hope and how it has transformed what you've been through into something where you give back and you can change, make a difference in the world and create change.
So, Verge of Remembrance is going to be, it's actually now going to be a feature film. It was going to be a short film for so long, but it
How
just,
exciting!
yes, I'm really excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's something that people really wanted to see more of, which is great. So, that's why
Yeah.
we ended up just saying, let's go ahead and just expand it for it to get fully picked up and out there. So it's a psychological film. It's a psychological thriller. It's more of a slow burn thriller where it's based on some real themes of my life, navigating childhood trauma and PTSD as an adult. I always tell people the examples, it's kind of like The Others meets Inception. So it's if that gives you a vibe of what it'll be like. And it really shows you a couple different things: intergenerational trauma and how that can affect us moving forward in our lives when we're in positive environments, and how people who have gone through severe trauma, such as childhood abuse, whether it be domestic or sexual, how that really plays a part in us moving forward in healthy environments that we're not used to being in. So, yeah, that's a big part of it, because you'll follow Kayla, who is the main character, who is on the verge of a major life change, but she's being haunted by a past she can't remember. So she's pregnant and she's on the verge of getting married to her fiance, Nick. And Nick is a very healthy guy. He's always been there for her through her ups and her downs. He knows her trauma a little bit and he has always done his best to be there for her. But things start to unravel as when she finds out she's pregnant, because the whole thing is like, looking at that cycle of how if we don't face things from our past, we can't truly move forward with our future. And also how we don't want those things to affect the next generation and the continuation of the bloodline. A lot of different themes, but they're definitely blended together beautifully. So I've been told, and I am really excited to get into production for it. It's definitely going to be, I think, we're calling it a hauntingly healing film that everyone in some type of way will be able to relate to. And I'm really excited. It's a pretty beautiful piece, and I think a lot of people are going to be inspired by it. And like you said, it is in partnership with my lovely advocacy center partners, the Chicago Children's Advocacy Center. I want it to be used as a driver to help bring more awareness to what they're doing, because they honestly are one of the top advocacy centers in the United States that's really doing incredible work to help survivors of SADV and sex trafficking. And they want to build Project Can Hope, which will be the first ever co-network space in America, 24 hours, 24/7 support for a survivor. It'll be the first leading safe space for survivors of all of those things under one umbrella. And hopefully, it'll be the precursor for many to come in every single major city. So I'm excited. I'm on the advisory board. I have been with them for over 6 years now as a survivor advocate and speaker. But once I walked through their doors as a victim, so it's been cool to come full circle, in these ways.
That's incredible. I mean, how amazing to now look back and go, oh my gosh, not only have you working through and healing your own experiences and traumas, but now you get to help others do the same in the same center where you were once at. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yes, it's definitely been a very rewarding, wonderful feeling. And yeah, I just have so many big plans that I hope to accomplish with the center, and also just in general with our government and so many things to help better conditions and support for survivors and people also struggling with mental health and trauma, as that's not something that's on the high list of cares right now, I think, in our country specifically, but I know in general, there's still so much stigmas and lack of education that surrounds mental health. You know, the dots that all of it's connected, even with homelessness and the rates of suicide and just the disparity, honestly, that it's all connected and that we all have to play a part to do better to heal our communities.
Yeah, it is definitely a societal issue.
Yes, it absolutely is. And like I said, I don't think many people really connect those dots of how it really truly is all connected, especially even in underserved communities where it's even 10 times worse. And those people are more likely to commit suicide than the average person. And how they're more likely to be on the streets and be homeless or just be in situations that they didn't necessarily choose to be in. And how, yeah, it really leads to severity of mental health issues in Black and Brown communities specifically, for sure.
Yeah. And so what you were doing, I mean, obviously you're creating a safe and healing environment for survivors to share their story, but you're also challenging people to look at the past and to look at what are some of the obstacles that they have to face now in order to get to where they want to be. So your advocacy work obviously spans across different fields as well, from filmmaking to mental health coaching and educating people. Education is such a key to changing society. I'd love to know, how do you balance these roles? Like, how do they complement each other in your mission?
Yeah, I mean, they actually complement one another really well. I think that's something I'm really happy with, is I've been able to really collaborate and collide all of my loves together. Everything that I produce with Visionary Woman is centered to a social impact cause that is giving back to the community. So it just happens naturally where whatever we produce and we create, we film, we write, that's being able to give back to the community in a big way, whether it be through a brand collaboration or creating this film internally, that it all is centered and connected. And obviously, my mental health background plays a huge role in that to help settle any like miscommunications or escalations. Like, it's definitely come in handy. And also, just being able to advocate for people in general in and out of the film industry, being able to be that advocate that's on set for kids, especially teens. And everyone just knows me now as an advocate overall in the entertainment industry that uses my wisdom in mental health and my skill set to be able to help keep environments and sets safer. It's all, yeah, blended together very well.
I mean, you've done so much. You've also co-founded the Gateway Mental Health Coaching Program at Elevation Church. And I'd love to hear about the impact of this program on the community and what it means to you as well.
Yes, I was one of the co-founders. It was during COVID, which was, obviously a huge time when I think people really started taking more notice on their mental health. And it was a big need because our wait list was miles long when we first started the program, and we hadn't even really promoted it either. It was more so we were promoting it internally and the list was growing. We hadn't even shared it with the whole church because it's like a pretty big church, and we knew if we did, it would just be even longer. So it definitely took a lot of different strides to find how we were going to serve everyone because we needed more people to certify as mental health coaches. Luckily, we got a cool scholarship collaboration with the Association of Christian Counselors to be able to give free scholarships away to people to be able to get certified, which was incredible. So we did that. And I mean, the impact was so incredible. I was just excited to just be a part of so many people's journeys to help them get through some pretty tough stuff. And my clients were specifically women that were going through sexual trauma and even identity crisis issues as well, sexuality things, which I'm also pretty well versed in, that stems from sexual trauma. So I was just so happy to be able to help people with some pretty deep stuff that season and to help them tell things to their spouses and to be able, even their families that they never told before, and just help them onto a better and healthier way of living. It was really wonderful.
Wow, that's amazing. And you've also, the list goes on. You have involvement with organizations like Thistle Farms and the International Justice Mission. How have these partnerships shaped your advocacy work and tied in with what you're doing at your church and with the wider community and the film as well?
Right. So yes, I've worked with the International Justice Mission a couple times over my career, as well as Cecil Farms, and I was able to be able like I there's a couple different ways we collaborated through different tour initiatives that I did as a singer-songwriter back in my 20s, and being able to raise awareness and funding for those organizations. But also we did a lot of different initiatives and fundraisers together to be able to help specifically sex trafficking survivors regain their lives again after being saved from trafficking. That's something I was able to work heavily in, even with helping to find homes and transportation and clothing and things of that nature for survivors. I was able to be a part of that mission with them and individually as well, because I had a lot of people through Instagram and online who actually connected with me, who had been able to escape trafficking, who reached out to me just by falling onto my page. So, yeah, it's been cool to be able to collaborate with them in like some cool creative ways over the past few years that have been an integral part of my work.
Wow, I would so love to hear more about that. And there's so much we could talk about. There is one question that is striking in my mind at the moment, though, and I want to talk about the victims that you've worked with that have been through sex trafficking. Obviously, when we talk about trauma, we understand that a lot of the time when people are experiencing trauma, they don't know they're going through it until afterwards, and they don't realize the pattern. They don't realize that going back to the perpetrator is so dangerous, so bad for their mental health and their psychological and just their overall general well-being. How would you say that translate in terms of like people that have been in sex trafficking industries? Is there a similarity? And have you seen something like that occur before? We've spoken to people that have been through that.
Yes, I mean, there's huge similarities. I feel like it's honestly all very similar. I think it's all sexual assault, exploitation. So it's the same exact patterns of feeling susceptible to your perpetrator and a sense of being in debt to them, but also the shame and the confusion and the layers that go with that as well. It's all very relative because it really all falls in the same pattern. The only difference, honestly, is sex trafficking survivors, they're obviously like in the midst of having to be in a business that they didn't ask to be in, and they are being forced to do heinous things with many different people in different circumstances that, one cannot fully fathom. So I think that's the biggest difference between being sexually abused and being in sex trafficking, but really the same shame and mindset, honestly, just like wreaks havoc on one's mind and spirit very same way. So yeah, I've seen that in both types of survivors, the same exact patterns, and not understanding fully what they are going through until they're out of it. But then a lot of people fully understanding it and going through the cycle of anger and grief and trying to rebuild their lives again, which happens for both types of survivors. It's either way, you truly have to rebuild your life. You really, really do. And like I said earlier, a lot of times we don't get to do that until we become adults, unfortunately, when so much time has passed and so much of our childhood was taken away from us and affected. So it's definitely a process and a journey every day for sure.
What kind of advice would you have for those that are struggling with dealing with trauma or mental health challenges and they're unsure of how to begin their healing journey? I mean, healing is a word that's thrown left, right, and center, and everyone talks about the importance of reflection and healing your inner child. And I remember years ago, it used to make me frustrated because I was overwhelmed with this term. I was like, okay, I understand healing is important. But where do you start? And it's like you're staring at this mountain and you just don't know how to tackle it. Obviously, healing is different for everyone and there's so many modalities. And then you look at the complexities of people's faith as well and people's beliefs and their upbringing. So, what kind of advice or what would you say to someone that's just embarking on their healing journey right now?
Right. I mean, there's so much advice that I give daily to people starting their healing journeys, but I feel the biggest thing is allowing yourself grace on the road and to really get comfortable with the idea and the truth that it's not going to happen overnight. That honestly, we're always going to be healing at one point or another for the rest of our lives. That's just honestly the cycle of life, whether you've been abused or not, or gone through extreme trauma or not. One day someone's going to pass away. You're going to have to deal with that grief and things that come from that trauma. If you never experienced that before, you're going to lose a job that may throw you into depression and may not be able to get another one for 7 months or something of that nature and have to deal with that. Honestly, trauma and depression and things that come with that. So, there's always going to be something in our lives that we are healing from. And specifically, if you've gone through a lot of trauma, it's always going to be like pulling back the layers of an onion. Every single time, it's like you're going to get past the first mark. You're going to get like you peel off the first layer. You're going to feel good. You're going to be able to move into situations you probably weren't necessarily comfortable moving into before you started your journey, and you'll be good and you'll keep learning and you'll grow and you'll continue to widen your capacity for each layer that you peel off. But sometimes you'll have days where you'll feel like, oh, I was triggered by something today, or something someone said really spiked me in the heart the wrong way, or reminded me of when I grew up and this is what someone said to me that was in a manipulative way. And you'll have to process that, and you'll have to kind of bring that to the center for yourself and realize, okay, this doesn't mean that I am reverting in any way. This just means I'm still growing, and that once again, it's a process, and that sometimes we'll have challenges, things that come up that challenge our healing, because that'll happen a lot. Like getting into an abusive situation where you didn't mean to get into an abusive relationship, and you have done so much healing leading up to that, but it just ended up being there were some things that happened. Maybe it was a vulnerable time in your life that set your guard down where you weren't as focused when you got into that relationship. That's something that happened with me. It's like when I got into my last relationship, I had done so much healing and made so much progress, and my brother suddenly died. And I was in a very vulnerable situation where I went back to a little bit of an old cycle where I just wanted to be comforted. I just wanted to be loved. I just wanted my inner child just wanted that something. But instead of going about it in a different way, I went about it in dating. And I let my guard down. I was very vulnerable. And the first person, which was him, like you said, manipulated, coerced me into that relationship that ended not being good. But I learned so much. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have stepped into my next layer of healing that I'm in now, being able to say, okay, I know that'll never happen again. I know my triggers. I know a bit better of what my inner child would do and how, we need to tell her, hey, you can rest. That's not something that we're going to continue to do now. So just understanding that it's going to always be a story that you're writing and that that's okay. And I think we don't hear that enough. I think sometimes we live in a world where people just try to say, oh, you need to be this or whatever, or you're not healed enough. Or that's something too with dating. People will try to say all the time, and I correct them, if you're doing XYZ, then that means you're not healed enough to be in a relationship or,
Yeah, that's such rubbish.
Yes, and a lot of people say that who are like gurus, so-called gurus and stuff in the dating world, which is very harmful because it's just simply, like you said, it's rubbish. It's not true. There's layers of healing. And even, especially if you've gone through severe sexual and manipulative trauma your whole life, you're not going to know what really triggers you until you get with a partner. You get married.
Absolutely.
you have a kid, like you're not gonna know what, and even if you haven't gone through severe trauma, there's always gonna be something. Like, I know so many friends who are married who are like, man, before I had a kid, like, I didn't realize like what would trigger me. It's like, it's natural, it's the natural part of life.
And they are gifts. I truly believe that partners are our gifts. I still, till this day, thank that experience. And I still, till this day, think it was a gift. I do not look back at it at all and go, I regret. It's insane to go through that again. Like, you, once you've started the healing work and you know what you know, it's almost impossible to unknow and to go back and repeat the same things. The only thing you can do is move forward and change and have newfound awareness. So I know that there are a lot of people out there that think, oh my goodness, like, your next relationship is going to be the same. You're going to attract another narcissist and the pattern's going to repeat. I actually say that's rubbish. I say, I believe that unless you have zero awareness and you don't work through it and you just go about dating and relationships blindly and you go from one relationship to the next, unless you are doing that, it's not possible. Because when you stop to heal, to do the inner work, to reflect and to look back at your childhood and your previous experiences, it's impossible to unsee what you can see now.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, you can always still like make mistakes and get triggers and such, but yeah, it's definitely a bit very hard. It makes it harder when you are more aware and you are doing the work and you are focused and aligned within yourself to be in that situation again. And also, even when you do go on those dates or you end up getting into something where it seems good at first and maybe, things are okay, but then you see the and you feel in your gut those certain things like, oh, I'm getting something, I don't think this is for me, and you get out right away, that's even a huge step in the right direction.
Your boundaries become so much more sacred, I would say. Like, I treat my boundaries like it is more valuable than my time and my money. Like, I respect my own boundaries so much more now. If someone does something that feels incongruent and I'm getting that feeling like the way you did that wasn't good treatment, I just don't waste time with those people anymore. Like, I literally don't even respond to their messages because for me, I just value myself so much, even more than I did. Like, I always valued myself. I've always been on the self-love journey for a while now, and think that since going through my own stuff, valuing myself and loving myself and speaking up has been a big thing over the last few years. And I'm grateful that I started doing that because otherwise I would probably still be in that relationship. I truly think he would have gotten what he wanted. But at the same time, what we were talking about earlier is without relationships, it's harder to see our triggers. And so we don't necessarily work through our traumas. And so we should definitely still put ourselves out there because it takes courage. It's serious courage to put yourself out there again.
It is definitely. It takes a lot of courage and just, like you said, self-awareness in yourself and also trust within yourself that you're going to be able to approach situations differently and understand what your boundaries are and understand if you're putting up boundaries in the right spaces as well. Because sometimes I think that's something that is not discussed enough. Sometimes people get to the point where they are almost, it's, I don't want to say it's like toxic positivity boundaries or, but it kind of is about like, well, I have boundaries, 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 but really it's like I lack accountability. And I don't want to actually, like you said, have the courage to step out into situations that may make me feel uncomfortable or be with any person that challenges me in any type of way, which is not healthy. We
No.
need our lives that, are able to challenge us in a healthy way to be able to have us grow in our on our healing journey. So that's important as well, is to understand whether you are using your boundaries as a crutch or excuse to not be held accountable for what you need to face in certain seasons, which is also important for people to know.
Absolutely, totally agree. I also wanted to add as well that if we can see our experiences as gifts, it makes it so much easier to heal and to go through the grieving process because then we can have a non-attached experience and not see the perpetrator as someone that we're in some kind of a war with. Because if you continue to hold on to harboring resentment, anger, and all those feelings, they actually do nothing but hurt ourselves. It only affects our own health and it only affects us. And it means that the perpetrator is still winning. If you're looking at it like, I mean, I don't see it as a win-lose, but if for those that are listening, if you're looking at your ex-partner as someone that you are fighting with and it's like a win or a lose, try and step out of that thinking and see it as an opportunity for you to transcend and grow. And if you can see it that way, then it's no longer about who left first or how many times did you go back. And I look at that and I go, you know what? If it wasn't for that experience, I wouldn't be who I am today. And so coming to acceptance and then forgiveness and still going back to compassion without being sucked in back into being with that person and getting their approval, not knowing when they're going to treat you badly and not knowing when they're going to switch or when their mood is going to change without going into that cycle. I think it's really good to be able to see your perpetrator or your partner as someone that is a gift and to see them with love and compassion. And that's a tricky thing. But if we can look at it with love and compassion and non-attachment, like safe boundaries, I love you from afar, then that is, I think that's very healthy.
Yeah, I think that definitely works in some circumstances and cases. Obviously, with like sexual abusers and traffickers, it's a bit different for
Oh,
sure. Like
gosh.
definitely bigger layers to that whole journey because I always tell survivors, you don't have to give, it's like you need compassion for yourself.
That's
And if
right.
you go that route in your healing journey to, as so far as to like compassion for your perpetrator and all of that, that's, a whole nother level that people sometimes can get to. But if you can't, that's fine. As long as you can get to the point where you just say, hey, I can forgive this person for what they put me through, that's enough. And I think that's healthy to also let people know that forgiveness is for sure more for you. So you can get that all out of your body and your mind and your spirit and move forward. It's more so for you than that person, whether you tell them you actually forgive them or not, which you do not have to do. But that's something that really is for you on your journey more than anything. And to have that compassion for yourself as you go through those processes for sure.
I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much for what you have just brought to light. That's so important. I totally agree. Forgiveness is the most ultimate way and form of letting go and healing, I believe.
It definitely is. And it's hard. It's not easy, especially depending on the gravity of what you've been through. It's definitely, it can take years to forgive not just that person, the situation, but if you believe in God, that's a whole other big layer that can take years to understand, well, why did this happen in the first place? Especially if you're a kid and that happens, there's no excuse for it. I don't believe in the BS that everything happens for a reason. I think that's a terrible analogy. Analogy that someone came up with because no one can explain why someone would get in sex trafficking or sexually exploited at 6 years old. There's no explanation. Can that situation be used in someone's future to help them become like me? Yes. And if they had the choice to be able to utilize their story on the grace as well for themselves to be able to do so, that's wonderful. But that doesn't happen for so many people, unfortunately, because it's a very hard, dark road to have to walk down. But yeah, forgiveness is a process for sure that can take many, many years to get to, which is once again, okay.
Ashley Lauren, thank you so much for your time, for sharing your experiences with us, for being so raw and so vulnerable. I'm truly grateful for just you showing up the way you are, as who you are, and for what you stand for. It's so refreshing to speak to another person that is an advocate against sex trafficking, but also someone that understands what people go through and is on their own healing journey, which you are. And it's beautiful to see what you do with your life and how you are using creativity and film and education and community to get a message out there to the world to make change and to create ripple effects in society.
Thank you so much, Phoebe. I really appreciate it. It's been a wonderful conversation.
It has. And I want to wrap this up with five rapid fire questions just so that the listeners get to know you a little bit more before we close off. So, Ashley Lauren, five questions, only whatever is at the top of your head, no right or wrong. So, rapid fire question number one is, if there was one thing you cannot live a single day without, what would it be?
Oh, books.
Nice. Question two is, who inspires you what you do today?
Oh gosh, my dad.
Oh, beautiful. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, Ashley Lauren? What do you want to have accomplished?
I see myself winning a Nobel Peace Prize. I would love to win a Nobel Peace Prize and start a global, impactful fund for survivors, be able to help them at a greater capacity with financial aid and housing and whatever else they may need in transition of their healing journeys.
Oh my goodness, I would love to be there when that happens. I'd love to see that. You're the first person to say that on the show. How bold. I love it. What is one big takeaway that you've had recently that changed the way you show up and the way you see the world?
I think that one of the biggest takeaways, or I guess things I have been learning recently, is I would say just the intergenerational story and processing that fully. I'm writing my book right now, and I think, I'm trying to really make sure I'm honorable and respectful to my family while writing it, no matter how complicated or anything, but really seeing just so much they also have went through in their lives and really seeing that whole intergenerational story and how it's played out in my life, whether it be for the good or the bad. And just finding some way. I think the whole biggest thing in my season is this season particular has been finding a way to honor them despite all dysfunction that has occurred and how it's affected my life. I think, yeah, that's been the biggest thing is like the story that I tell intergenerationally and how I want to honor that, but also hopefully use what I'm doing to heal it and go moving forward into the next generation I would like to produce one day.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I'm also writing my book at the moment. I'm just at the very beginning, though. I feel like there's just so much stuff to sort that I've delayed my book.
Yeah, it's gonna be a doozy.
I'm sure it'll be big too. Like, you can't really condense that stuff. There's so many chapters and phases in life that all tie in, and like, it's all really relevant, right?
Yes, definitely. I'm excited for it.
Ashley Lauren, last question for today. If you could leave the world with one message, what would it be?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. Honestly, to be kind. I think that's the first thing that came to my spirit is to be kind and not ignorant, to be honest, and not ignorant in a way where you're being dismissive or ignorant in the way of like you're not educating yourself truly to seek the truth. I think if more people were consistently seeking the actual truth, especially in the nature of our world in the way that it's in, we would have healthier people and relationship and governments. I think that's a huge thing is we need more people actually wanting to stand for the truth and to seek it as well and to be kind on the journey for everyone involved, whether they know more than you or not. I think that's something that's very important is to bring back that empathy and understanding. I think that's, yeah, the one thing I would suggest is just kindness. We need more
Yeah.
kindness.
Genuine kindness. I absolutely agree. The kindness where it actually people can feel it and it's genuine, it's from the heart. There's no ulterior motive. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. To the listeners, I hope that you are feeling uplifted and inspired after this episode. I know I am certainly feeling very, very inspired and empowered. Thank you so much for listening today. And Ashley Lauren, thank you so much for your time. I've absolutely loved this conversation. I cannot wait to have more with you. And also to the listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, I would so appreciate you leaving a rating on Apple Podcasts or even on Spotify. Your reviews mean the world. It does help this show get out to more people. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with any of your friends and family that would benefit from it. And Ashley Lauren, thank you so much. It's been so good to have you on. Cannot wait for the next time when we speak again.
Thanks so much, Phoebe.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.